baby.
He's an absent baby.
Do we have some other first time attendees?
Yeah.
Lavon's husband.
Well, yes.
My name is Richard. That's why her name is now White.
Sometimes it takes longer to get a little intelligence.
Now we have some new folks coming in.
We got a couple back here. Introduce yourself.
I'm Anna and I'm from Stockton.
I'm Doug Brown. I'm living in the Bay Area. I'm from New Zealand.
We have some very good friends in New Zealand. We. Are you going back? Are you originally from? I could not hear.
Yeah,
originally, yes. A little Aussie in there, too.
Yes.
A little time on the big island.
Well, there are a lot of us and you who are still colonies of Great Britain.
Well, I'll date the tape. Today is the 28th of March, 1992, I think. It's roughly 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're gathered at the bookstore for a very unannounced, sudden meeting. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Sometimes it takes a lot of arranging in order to gather the group. I am pleased and honored that you responded. It was not a command performance, but I'm glad that you're here. There aren't any meetings anymore or writings that are not critical. It would be good, actually, to have 3 meetings a day just to keep up. And obviously, we cannot do that. I had to stand on one foot and the other waiting for Norma to go tend a bird. She hasn't been into the aviary in 3 days. And that always means the loss of some of those precious little creatures. Your lives are too full. I know that. And yet when we have opportunity together with our brothers on this same path, we need to assemble when we can, because there's nothing regular. Well, we just don't make a good church group, do we? Wendell Hoffman is very, very precious to me and to this group. He is extremely loyal. He is one of the ones who has paid one of the highest prices for bucking a system. I'm a little bit chagrined to speak on the subject of what is unfolding, because it seems to take away a little bit from that which you will read. The book on the Committee of 300 has hit the press with a great deal of impact. You're responsible for that. Had John not been able to share in our relationship here, that book would have not been written. And certainly it would not have gone to press, and there would have been no publisher to print it. So I wish to thank you. You have given a gift to this nation and the world beyond which you can see. What we are unfolding now is just as critical, and as Dorma says, just gets me in deeper and deeper and deeper. You have to trust me. I know that that usually goes with the check is in the mail. I don't care if it takes you a while to trust me. I don't mind if you cannot bring yourself to have a relationship with one of God's hosts. I'm not even going to discuss my relationship in the command at this moment. You ones wish to believe that there are all these go-betweens and that somehow everything happens to somebody else. Sorry about that. It's happened to you. You have assumed a responsibility, although there are things that you must face. And I will precede what I'm going to say by saying that I'm not so discontent with the way things are, wherein we know exactly who relates to what, who tells, who is simply careless, and who deliberately is a deceiver. In any group, and you ones who bear the most important messages of all time to humanity on this planet cannot for 1 minute believe that you are exempt from the surveillance, from the attempts in any manner possible to both distract you and get you. I rather like it this way, because as long as you know that, hopefully you will begin to act accordingly. If you go forth and you exaggerate, you're going to get yourself in trouble, because when they come to investigate, they're not going to find anything, because absolutely my requirement is everything within the laws of God and within the laws of man. We are bringing the word of truth. Jermaine and some of the other hosts have brought forth the most important documents regarding your infinity. And that is, what is God and how are you created? That is within the Pleiades Connection series, simply so we can refer to it and get back into this incredible pressure of bringing you current with decades of decadence. And we are writing what is comparable to the impact of the Committee of 300. You see, their workers, their enforcers, are the British intelligence. And under the British intelligence are all of these organizations like the Anti-Defamation League, etc. But their main operatives are directly serving in the capacity of CIA, KGB, Mossad, all of which are basically integrated now into one unit, serving the central government called the United Nations. And you will see little Gates every day on the news. You are cutting back now thousands of your reserves and National Guard units. They are wiping away all of your ability through the general military population who just serve. They're getting rid of them. And these are being replaced by technological weapons in the hands of extremely shrewdly and well-trained hitmen. These are the enforcers of the New World Order. I'm continually, daily bombarded with inquiries I would like to know how many, if anybody can count. Or we're picking up or vibrations. I guess you're in the same position I am. You can't see them either.
This morning.
You're at war. I'm not going.
Saul was one. He's not very high.
I'm not going to beat around the bush. I have never been known to do that. I've tried to protect you as best I can from having to face information until you had it. Until you had grown enough that it wasn't more Twitter-pating than and exciting than reality to you. Your nation is at all-out war. I'm talking about a fighting, blast each other out of the heavens war. What you witnessed this last week, and this is for the benefit of you who have not had any writings for a day or so, all this wonderful talk about phaser cannons and lighting up the aurora, and we're going to have this little elf extra low frequency boom for the little school children to watch. And now we turn around in our seat and we photograph this electron field in the trailing contrail of the spacecraft. Number one, you don't have a contrail in a vehicle in space. They know they can tell you anything and you eat it like candy. And I'm telling you, it is poison. You're killing yourselves while you sleep. The shuttle is a nothing, as usual. But right from Edwards Air Force Base, they shot out a Russian platform. Time went on. And they so damaged, well, they knocked out a lot of their shuttle craft. But you are in real serious trouble. The cosmonaut that just they carried out of the spacecraft, knock it off, Chilas. You don't run around month after month wadded up in a little shuttle craft. They have bases. The craft was damaged and they couldn't get it home. And he had been cramped in that little orbiting craft. And your guys couldn't knock him out. So you've got witness now. They tried every way they could to kill that little shuttle. And so when they couldn't, they have to make a big deal over bringing cosmonauts in after having been out there 2 months extra. Because Russia doesn't have any money. Oh, my friends, they have all of yours. You don't have any money. How many of you noticed your latest capitulation? Millions of dollars to Russia, this new commonwealth, to help them get on their feet and purchase, get this, purchase advanced space technology. How come? You've always been told you were the big shot. That they were stealing technology, advanced technology, from you. And now they're going to sell you a little bit of theirs. Where are you? Where are your ears? Where are your eyes? Where is your brain? Check on it frequently, because many have lost theirs. That's not the worst of it. While Mr. Bush is tripping down on his walk, all done up for his next meeting, you notice he doesn't have to go campaigning anymore. Wonder why? They pulled it off exactly like they planned. Guess what he's doing for you? Without, quote, without public attention, very quietly, Mr. Bush has made arrangements to buy this technology, give to Russia billions of dollars in loan guarantees, more food stuffs, and more food credits, and enough cash to begin to stabilize the Commonwealth economy. And we've already done it, and we've done it like in the last couple of days. Now, what do you really think is going on in space? That is pure, unadulterated blackmail. And you met the blackmail, so what does that tell you? That you are not ahead in the game. Now you fired and you started that reaction in the electronic field, the radioactive field. Our people had to come in and bring that under control and ask everybody to hold up, because the Russians were ready to blow you off the map. And your idiots on the ground said, go ahead and try. The Russians are in council trying to decide whether or not the time is appropriate to ignite that radioactive field, keep your goggles handy, and then simply drain off the plasma that remains. And then all of your shielding is gone. Period. And from day to day, you go blindly on wondering whether or not Bill Clinton is telling you the truth. And that's the next one I get. Well, is Bill Clinton better than Bush? No. I told you last year at this time, at the meeting of the Bilderbergs, it is time again, a year has elapsed. Pardon my bad English. It's time for the next Bilderberg meeting so that they can go ahead and plan the rest of your demise for this year. They announced in that meeting, this was part of what the meeting was about, in the Bilderberger meeting, was to present Bill Clinton as their president. Now, what does that tell you? That they don't want Bush, or they want Bush for a much higher position, and I think you know which it is. Clinton has been groomed, and you notice that no matter what he does, they throw it out there, and he gets stronger. The Bilderberg is the god of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, of which Mr. Clinton is a member of all. He is a groomed child of the Committee of 300 directly. So it doesn't matter which one of them, if you have an election, gets in. It's all pre-planned. Well, what about Ross Perot? Ross Perot and Bo Greitz could swing it. Will they? I don't know. I literally cannot see out there to see. And what I'm talking about is whether they will get together and do this thing properly. Ross Perot is a businessman. He doesn't claim to be anything else. He is an industrialist. He wants to put everybody to work, but he wants to work everybody so that there is a base of taxation for this nation. Oberle just mentioned today that one of the reporters has finally counted and comes up with something like 11 million Americans out of work. Hardly sounds like the little 7.8% to me. And you don't have any method of rebuilding your industries. None. Zero. Your major companies are moving to Mexico and out of this country. They have no intention whatsoever. Lee Iacocca is being replaced by a man who runs a foreign industry. General Motors is in the throes of building a massive automobile construction plant south of the border, down Mexico way. You have a Panzer group having moved across the southern border and has made its way to San Antonio. You have a whole bunch of military bases that are now totally occupied and operated by the Soviets. Two in Texas, Fort Hood, for all practical purposes, is nothing but a Soviet military installation with heavy equipment. You moved all of yours out, all of it, in the Gulf, so-called war. In Columbus, Ohio, so now we talk all the way across your nation, there is a base completely occupied and utilized by the Soviets. But you don't have to worry anymore. The Cold War's over. You better believe it. And you lost. The desirable thing is to keep you alive. We must have a remnant. I don't like what's going on in space this day. I don't like what may come out of this. You see, we are left in this command basically as helpless as you until certain things happen. We're not allowed to function. But one place I can function is if they try to touch one hair on my scribe's head. And that means whoever is in this community with her is going to be pretty damn well protected. Now, one say, oh, but God can't and won't. Don't count on it. I want to tell you something about God. You have a gross misperception of this being. And what God has created, God can rip asunder in the split second of an eye blink. Don't push God. Now, I say this as much with intent of being heard by the surveillance equipment as you. It's frightening to be in this position. It's hard to be in this position and just keep marching. George and Desiree have to do it every day of their life. They have to confront this. It's too late to not publish any of this work. Would it help to not publish any more? No. You may as well go all the way. Many of you precious ones have been here for a long, long time. And I say a long, long time. We haven't been doing this very long, have we? A couple of years. Everybody is shocked. You ought to be. Dorma never wrote a word for me, didn't know who I was until the fall of 87. And it was 89 before we began to write at all. And I honor you ones who dare, because that is a hard decision, especially when I tell you, when you step over that threshold, this is the last day that you can step back over it. Most of you along the way can hop back and forth across it. Well, today I'm not going to be on your team. But I'll tell you, when there is this much fat in the fire, no pun to you people on a diet, there's no going back. There's no turning back. And yet not a one even offers to turn back, not of the group that began this. So each one of you offering service has to realize what is your intent and what were your actions to get you to this point. And what is it you want now? Just to have your way and your excitement at the price of someone else? Or hopefully to grasp that brass ring that belongs to somebody else, because you've been told for too long that it's a communal state of living, that what's yours is mine, and I deserve it as much as anything because you have it? No, thank you. There's no cult here. There's no commune here. It's each carrying a load, each whose purpose is different, not one being an iota more important than the other, only different and in varying sequences of production. And the dream is that you can rebuild a nation. That dream doesn't look too good today, I have to tell you. So you don't live in fantasy land pretending. That doesn't cut it. The whole thing is a big pretense. But you've certainly created it. And you're stuck with it until it is dissolved one way or another. And I said dissolved. I didn't say resolved. Resolution goes without need for discussion. Dissolution is a very big, different thing. And I would be very, very careful how you wish to have this dissolved. Because dissolved under the wrong set of circumstances of manifestation, and you are really, really in serious trouble for the rest of your journey. And the rest of your journey on the place will be very short. Always, as long as there is a circumstance under which we can communicate and reason, We can often buy a little time. And actually what you have as a valuable commodity in your plane of experience is the perception of time. I don't need to tell you there isn't any space and there isn't any time, because obviously you are here and you have a clock and it goes around. And so we don't need to get into that anymore. If you want to dwell in those little idealistic situations and hear about all those religious rituals, that if you do them, that's all that it takes. If you believe this, that's all that it takes. If you don't live by the Word of God, and you choose the evil path which denies that truth and word and law, that means that you have deliberately made a choice as to your intent, and I will have no evil aboard my craft. I have that decision. What else you do is between you and God, but I have to remind you, there are damn few ways off this planet. And the ones that can get you far enough out there to be safe are not off this planet. So I have to repeat, when you hear all these myriads of stories about aliens under the ground over here, so what? You better pray they're there. Evil is something created by man. Anything coming from God in and working within the laws of the cosmic universe are godly, or they wouldn't be able to get this far. So what you are going to be introduced to are the replicas manufactured on this place. That does not mean that there are not plenty of, quote, aliens on your place waiting. God would not be foolish enough not to have his troops where he needs them. And evil cannot create. They have to use what is available. They can manufacture, they cannot create. All God has to do is breathe life into those robots, and he has an instant army. And your technicians have created little replicas that can go right through the walls, right through the ground, right through the doors, right through the tanks, and bullets don't touch them. So with a little soul music going, we have an army, precious ones. Be nice to those guys. But the adversary doesn't want you to know that. And if you go knock on the tunnel door and say, I'm here, let me in, they're going to shoot you. So you need interim facilities, and you need instructions, and you need to be working as hard and fast as you can at becoming a viable remnant. Supposing you are in a location where there is not an underground facility created by your nice government. You're going to get blown away on the surface. If you don't ask for help. And I don't mean you have to get on your knees and say, oh my goodness, finally help me. All you have to do is turn into the light and you're safe. But I'm going to repeat, I'm not bringing pretenders, and I'm not bringing ones with evil intent to tear down God's kingdom any longer. If, in fact, this planet is going to pulverize, and that is a very good possibility this day, if this chain reaction, if they ignite that radioactive belt, you're going to have 3 days of such brilliant light that it will blind. If they ignite anything, those cobalt bombs, in any way under the surface, you are going to have a nuclear winter like you cannot imagine. The hope always is that the elite want to live a while longer. You see, their plan is for year 2000. But they now have their facilities, and this is why I'm sorry back there in New Zealand. They have their major luxurious elite facilities in Australia and New Zealand. Because you see, the world elite work for the crown of England. Right back where you started from. Aided and abetted by the bankers. I hope that just in this group you are listening to what I say and play the game at least as well as they do. Has anybody noticed trying to set up a corporate bank account down at Bank of America versus San Juan? Come on in. We love you. We don't hardly even need a signature. Just tell us what you want, precious. San Juan, you have to sell your soul. Why would that be? Because Bank of America is one of the five blessed banks that will eat every other one. Go bank in Bank of America. They like you there. Your things are safer there. But they don't have any more insurance than you do, and they want everything you've got. So use your head. I have a problem with the Common Law Service Center. I can't seem to make ones understand. It is no longer viable to become citizenized or non-citizenized. You are not sovereign. And once you become only a sovereign citizen of a given state and this all blows to hell, you're out. You're dead. And if you think you're going to cover all these assets in trust because they can't get to it, oh, Sheila, spare me. They intend to have it all. So interim-wise, some of these things have their worthiness and their value. There's no perfection left for protection. And therefore, I'm not going to get into a big lecture here, but I'd like to get those gentlemen down here and I will teach them. I can't get them interested enough to read the material. I know there is a lot of it, but all I get is in response, I can't, we can't, that can't. I am weary of that. I will never give you anything that you can't do. And yet, I am not going to go advertise the method of protection and let you get set up by somebody who comes in to see what kind of games you're going to play so that you end up in jail. Forget it. There are some security measures that can be utilized by my people. And we're very happy to share them. But again, it will all be legal. Absolutely immaculate in detail. You have to be more clever and creative than your enemy. Well, maybe we should give up. Oh, I would like one person in this room to tell me, then what are you going to do? What are you going to eat? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? If someone has a gun to your head and he says, I'm going to kill you, and you know that he is, you can hope that there's a blank in the gun, or you can run like hell and he'll shoot you in the back, which is the way they prefer to do it, or you can figure a means of escape and do what you can to get away. If he kills you, just know that you would have been dead anyway. But you will have at least tried. None of you have the privilege of sitting and waiting. We had ones that missed the meeting last week. If I hadn't been unveiling all of this information recently, I would not have brought this to the attention because it endangers ones who work at the prison. But since everything is obviously now all over the general creation as it exists, I think there are ones in this room that can verify and confirm that there are massive facilities under that prison. And yet they don't seem to have any public projection for earthquake, disaster, or anything. No, we don't have any safety shelters. They have the damnedest, biggest network under there you ever laid eyes on, connected over here to Northrop and Lockheed, Edwards, JPL, old hot dog, you know. This new Russian advanced technology hot dog for all of you here is going over to JPL in Pasadena. And that's one problem with Ross Perot. He has three things on his agenda. One is to put more people to work for taxation purposes. He is in favor of gun control, and he wants to continue and increase aid to Russia. It is not that he is a bad person or one of them, although it is speculated that he has probably, and I will tell you this, he's been approached. Don't kid yourself. The man has $3 billion. How does he keep it? But what can you do about it? You can hope that he is just ill-informed and will be willing to become informed. If not, it's like trying to figure out a way to postpone that beast pulling the trigger until you're a little more situated. They're getting rid of all of the military personnel that could come to your assistance. They are training the KGB, and Soviet officers are now working in your police academies training your officers. As time goes on, they will station these and they will be called, you know, the United Nations police force. That's why you have a cut in your defense spending. You don't need them anymore. You have an elite group of killers loose. And they only have to do a few Rodney Kings in front of you, and you'll march to their drum. I'm continually amazed at ones who still believe such a foolish thing as, I will not accept the mark of the beast. You have been marked by the beast. He's got your number. He's got your number in 37 different computer systems. All they want you to do is stand up and make a big fuss and a big show and refuse him and he will shoot you because now he knows where his adversary is. You've just told him. We don't fight against anything. We act within the laws of the land as he makes them, all the while trying to support the Constitution as long as there is a shred of it left, so that you can have an opportunity to possibly reclaim your nation. Your Constitution, for all practical purposes, is gone. It's gone.
Excuse me. Good place to stop. Do we have some other first-time attendees?
Yeah.
Levon's husband.
Well, yes.
My name is Richard. That's why her name is now White.
They're newlyweds.
Sometimes it takes longer to get a little intelligence.
Now we have some new folks coming in.
We got a couple back here. Introduce yourself.
I'm
Anna
and I'm from Stockton.
I'm Doug Brown. I'm living in the Bay Area. I'm
We have some very good friends in New Zealand. Are you going back? Are you originally from? I could not hear.
Yeah, he is. Originally, yes. Yeah. A little Aussie in there too.
Yes.
A little time on the big island.
Well, there are a lot of us and you who are still colonies of Great Britain.
Well, I'll date the tape. Today is the 28th of March, 1992, I think. It's roughly 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're gathered at the bookstore for a very unannounced sudden meeting. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Sometimes it takes a lot of arranging in order to gather the group. I am pleased and honored that you responded. It was not a command performance. But I'm glad that you're here. There aren't any meetings anymore or writings that are not critical. It would be good, actually, to have 3 meetings a day just to keep up. And obviously, we cannot do that. I had to stand on one foot and the other waiting for Dorma to go tend a bird. She hasn't been into the aviary in 3 days. And that always means the loss of some of those precious little creatures. Your lives are too full. I know that. And yet when we have opportunity together with our brothers on this same path, we need to assemble when we can, because there's nothing regular. Well, we just don't make a good church group, do we? Wendell Hoffman is very, very precious.